जय राधा मदाभा कुंज बिहारी, जय राधा मदाभा कुंज बिहारी, गोपी जन भालाभा गिरिभर धारी, गोपी जन भालाभा गिरिभर धारी, यशोदा नंदन ब्रज जन रंजन, यशोदा नंदन ब्रज जन रंजन, जमुना तीरा बन छारी, जमुना तीरा बन छारी, जय राधा मधाभा कुंज बिहारी, जय राधा मधाभा कुंज बिहारी, जय ओम विष्णुपाद परमहंस परिव्राज आचार्य आशुतोत्तरशत श्रीमद् हिज डिवाइन ग्रेस एसी भक्ति वेदांत स्वामी शिल प्रभुपाद की जय ओम विष्णुपाद परमहंस परिव्राज आचार्य आशुतोत्तरशत श्रीमद् हिज डिवाइन ग्रेस भक्ति सिद्धांत सरस्वती गोस्वामी महाराज शिल प्रभुपाद की अनंत कोटि वैष्णव वृंद की ग्रंथराशिमं भागवतम की Nitai Gaura Premanandi. O glories to the assembled devotees. O glories to the assembled devotees. O glories to the assembled devotees. O glories to Shishi Guru and Shigoranga. Glories to Srila Prabhupada. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय, ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय, reading from Shriman Bhagavatam canto 10 the summon bone on chapter 13 which is entitled the stealing of the boys and the cows by Lord Brahma. Text number 3 to number 5. I'm going to read 3, 4, and then we'll read 5 together.
Sri Nus Baba Hito Rajam Api Guhyam Badamite Brujus Nikdasya Sisyasya Gurabo Guhyam Apyuta.
Translation. O King, kindly hear me with great attention. Although the activities of the Supreme Lord are very confidential, nor ordinary man been able to understand them, I shall speak about them to you. For spiritual master explained to a submissive disciple even subject matters that are very confidential and difficult to understand. Text number 4.
Tathagha vadanam rityo rakshitva vatsapalakam saritpulinan aniya bhagavan idan abhrabit.
Translation. Then, after saving the boys and the calf from the mouth of Aghasura, who was death personified, Lord Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, brought them all to the bank of the river and spoke the following words. In today's verse,
Aho tiramyam pulinam bhajasya Swakeli sampam mudrila chabalukam. Sputat sarogam dahita lipatrika. Dwani prati dwanala sadrumakulam. Ahotiramyam pulinam bhajasya Swakeli sampam mridulaccha balukam Sputat sarogam dahrita lipatrika Dhani prati dhvanala sadrumakulam Ahotiramyam pulinam bhajasya Swakeli sampam mridulaccha balunam
Balukam
Balukam Sputapsaro gandahrita lipatrika. Dwani prati dwanala sadrumakulam.
Please chant.
Dinanyam pulinam bhajasya Swakeli sampam ridulaccha balukam Sputapsaro gandharita lipatrika Dwani prati dwanala sadrumakulam. Aho,
O, Atiramyam, very, very beautiful, Pulinam, the bank of the river.
Bajashaha,
my dear friends,
Swakeli Sampat,
full with all paraphernalia for pastimes of play.
Midula Achabalukam,
the very soft and clean sandy bank.
Sputat, in full bloom.
Saraha Gandaha, by the aroma of the lotus flower.
Rita, attracted.
Ali, the bumblebees.
Patrika,
and of the birds.
Dhwani Pratidhwana,
the sounds of their chirping and the echoes of these sounds.
Lasat,
moving all over.
Druma Akulam,
full of nice trees. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. My dear friends, just see how this riverbank is extremely beautiful because of its pleasing atmosphere. And just see how the blooming lotuses are attracting the bees and birds by their aroma. The humming and the chirping of the bees and birds is echoing throughout the beautiful trees in the forest. Also, here the sands are clean and soft. Therefore, this must be considered the best place for our sporting and pastimes. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. The description of the Vrindavan forest as given herewith was spoken by Krishna 5,000 years ago. And the same condition prevailed during the time of the Vaishnava Acharyas 300 or 400 years ago.
Kujat kokilaham sasarasa guna kirne majura kule.
Vrindavan forest is always filled with the chirping and cooing of birds like cuckoos, kokila, ducks, hamsa, and crane, sarasa. And it is also full of peacocks, majura kule. The same sounds and atmosphere still prevail in the area where our Krishna Balaram temple is situated. Everyone who visit this temple is pleased to hear the chirping of the birds as described here.
Kujat kokila hamsa sarasa.
Om agyana timirandasya gyananjana shalakaya chakshur ummilitam yena tasmai sri guruve namaha. Namo om vishnu padaya krishna vasaya bhutale shrimate rongpada swaminiti namine. Namo om vishnu padaya krishna vasaya bhutale shrimate bhaktivedanta swamin iti namine. Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Pashatyade Shatarine Bancha Kalpa Taruvyasha Kripa Sindhu Vyayvacha Patitanam Pavanevyo Vaishnavevyo Namo Namaha. The beautiful descriptions of Vrindavan, and just I was reminded of Vrindavan a little bit because of my old friend Rupanuga Prabhu, who is visiting, and is a new Vrindavan Basi. So in new Vrindavan there is many nice birds and there's a lot of peacock. So it's very pleasing, very beautiful. So just welcome Prabhu always. This is the starting of one of the most beautiful, fascinating, important chapters
of the 10th canto, which is and it's also the introduction is very significant in my you know, from my perspective, you know, limited realization, but I feel it's very, very significant that Srila Sukadev Goswami is telling Maharaj Parikshit, now listen carefully. We hear this before. Listen carefully that I'm going to narrate something very, very confidential. Something that is very difficult to understand for common people. But I'm going to narrate to you because you are my disciple and a submissive disciple. So, few things are there just to introduce this beautiful power of the pastime of Lord Krishna. And mind me, Srila Sukadev Goswami has been narrating so far quite a bit. He narrated the whole pastimes of Krishna up to right now. This is Krishna at this point is 6 years old. He just started the Pauganda part of his the age, which is 6 years. I believe it's 6 years up to 9 years old or 10 years old that there is this period of time, which is a very, very nice time for kids. It's probably when you teach Sunday school is one of the most fantastic groups of kids, because they are now it's almost like they're like a sponge. They take it all in. And they're very eager to learn. Later, when they go into the next stage, 11 years old, 13 years old, they start to get a little more into contact with their individuality, and they start to be more, they start to question things. But when they're in the age from 6 to 10, they just take it all in. And so it's a very beautiful stage for the kids. When you're a parent or you're a teacher, it's very, very, very beautiful to see them during this period. So Srila Sukadeva Goswami has been narrating, you know, all these beautiful passages of Krishna, including the killings of different demons such as Putana and Trinivarta and Agasura and Bakasura and like that. We have narrating how he delighted the inhabitants of Vrindavan, the cowherd ladies and the cowherd men, headed by Nanda Maharaj and Yashoda Mayi, how he delivered Nalakubara and Manigriva. So these are very, very beautiful intimate pastimes, and also that narrates the position of Krishna, the opulence of Krishna as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And also narrated the superlative intimacy of the relationship that there is there between Krishna's devotees and Krishna himself. And specifically highlighted the position of Mother Yashoda that is beyond the imagination of any great personality that is there, including Lord Shiva, Lord Brahma, Lakshmi Devi. So the position of Mother Yashoda was highlighted. So very, very intimate. Now, Srila Sukadev Goswami, after Maharaj Parikshit, inquired from him further about the previous statement of Srila Sukadev Goswami, in which he said that basically the narration of Krishna killing the demon Agasura happened a year after. It was, you know, this occurred, and so Maharaj Parikshit wanted to know, and now Srila Sukadev Goswami is telling, okay, listen very carefully, this is very, very intimate, guhyam, the word guhyam, very confidential, very, very confidential, very difficult to understand. So the narration itself of this pastime is about Lord Brahma, the most intelligent personality that is there in this cosmic manifestation, in this universe, the most qualified of jivas that are in this world. And Lord Brahma becomes confused or bewildered by seeing what by seeing the pastimes of Lord Krishna. So that tells us that if Lord Brahma can be confused, then what to speak of a common person, or not even a common person, any person under Lord Brahma being great, yogis and gyanis, and what to speak of, you know, common persons like many of us. So it's not easy to understand. That's the principle. And you have to be listening very careful. And then it has to be received from a spiritual master. And then we understand that from the Bhagavad Gita. The Bhagavad Gita tells us that Krishna explains. In the Bhagavad Gita, basically, Srila Prabhupada described that he introduced us to this most confidential knowledge. At the heart of the Bhagavad Gita, in the 9th chapter, Krishna explains to Arjuna that this knowledge is Rajaguhyam. Rajavidya Rajaguhyam. The king of all knowledge, the king of all confidential knowledge. And Prabhupada explains that diving into this confidential, basically, the Bhagavad Gita gives us the introduction to this most confidential knowledge. And within this most confidential knowledge, Prabhupada breaks it down to confidential, more confidential, and most confidential. And confidential, Prabhupada explains, that is a very an explanation of the spiritual nature of the living entity. So to understand who we are as a spirit soul, so the Atma Tattva knowledge that is there. And then more confidential is when we understand the localized aspect of the Lord, the all-pervading aspect of the Lord within the heart of all living entities and all the atoms, as the Paramatma, was situated in the heart of every living entity. And most confidential is to understand the Supreme Personality of Godhead and our relationship, our loving relationship with Him. So, in the Bhakti Shastras, this is explained very is explained in a matter that we can understand. We can understand the principles, the ABC. In the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna explains that this knowledge, this most confidential knowledge, must be received by a spiritual master. It must be received by a spiritual master that has a qualification of being in the parampara, evam parampara praktam iman rajarsajo vidhu. And it has to be received, the symptom of that personality is to be understood that is someone who have darshan of the truth. Tattva darshi. And that truth, in the fourth chapter, Krishna explains that is Jamma karma chamedi vyan evan jo veti tattvataha. This tattvataha, or this truth, to understand Krishna in full, in truth, is to fully understand the divinity and the transcendental quality of his appearance and his pastimes. So, a person who is able to understand that in truth is a tattvadarshi. Is someone who have seen the truth, who have darshan of that truth. So one must seek. Krishna recommends or directs us that we must seek for that personality and take full shelter of that personality. And from that personality receive this transcendental knowledge. Tat vidhi pani pratena pari prasnena sevaya. So, we receive that from the spiritual master. We serve the spiritual master with a submissive mood, and we inquire and we serve. So, the spiritual master then gives us this confidential knowledge that Krishna in consistently telling Arjuna, listen carefully. Listen, because I'm going to tell you this. And then he qualifies it. Why, Arjuna? Right here, Srila Sukadev Goswami is qualifying Maharaj Parikshit as being submissive, a submissive disciple. Krishna qualifies Arjuna as his friend and his devotee. He also qualifies Arjuna as anusujava, or non-envious. And he's constantly telling him, listen carefully, I'm going to tell you now. I'm going to introduce you, I'm going to teach you this most confidential knowledge. So, the introduction of this confidential knowledge we receive in the Bhakti Shastras. And chief of the Bhakti Shastras is this Bhagavad Gita. But, I'm talking from the perspective of, you know, the studies that we do, that Prabhupada established. When we actually study the Bhakti Shastra, we study the Bhagavad Gita, the Sri Isha Upanishad, the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, and the Upadisamrita. And in these books, we receive the basis. But when you go into studying the Srimad Bhagavatam, the whole thing kick into another level. And the Bhagavatam in itself is basically going, diving deeper and deeper into this most confidential knowledge, which is our relationship with the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Where the Bhagavad Gita ends, the Srimad Bhagavatam takes over. So the Bhagavad Gita's last instructions is Sarva Dharmam Pariteja Mam Ekam Sharanam Vraja. That we fully abandon all types of religion, we simply surrender to Krishna. The Bhagavatam introduction by Srila Vyasadeva starts at that point. And the second verse tells us that this Dharma Prajita Kaita Bhatra, that rejecting all types of religion that are materially motivated, then the Bhagavatam simply focus on this Mam Ekam Sharanam, simply focus on the highest truth. Vedyam Bastan Atravashtu Shivadan Tapa Ut Tapoja Mulitam. That this most elevated truth that that is beyond the three modes of material nature. And is qualified for pure-hearted devotees. Nirmatsaranam satam. Devotees that are pure in heart. And further I say this, Srimam Bhagavate Mahamuni Krite Kim Ba Parayar Ishwaraha. That this beautiful narration of the Srimam Bhagavatam compiled by Vyasadeva in his maturity of realization is sufficient. You don't need any other scriptures to actually fully understand this most confidential knowledge and pastimes of the Lord. And he recommends Srila Vyasadeva that we enter into this culture. Prabhupada translated it, this culture of hearing regularly the Srimad Bhagavatam. Shushubis tat shanat. A culture of hearing the Bhagavatam. In the purport, Srila Prabhupada breaks down in a most fascinating way this Nirmatsaranam Satam, the qualification of someone to receive this most transcendental knowledge. The qualification for someone to actually being able to listen and to understand and to receive what the Bhagavatam is offer and is for. And Prabhupada, I actually should read it because it's completely amazing. And it's so, I mean, Prabhupada translated this. This was the beginning of Prabhupada's, you know, most important work of translating Bhagavatam. He started that in Vrindavan in the 50s. And this is the beginning of his opus work. And is such a visionary. It's such a visionary, and the explanation is like, it's devastatingly incredible. And it's timeless too, because if you read it now, it's perfectly applicable. Especially right now that people are sort of, you know, contemplating different alternatives to organize society in this world. You know, there's discussions of socialism, and there's this discussion of democracy and this and that, and people are discussing these things, and some people are presented, some people are rejecting, and all these talks about these things. But Prabhupada actually introduces this, you know, explains this very powerful in this. So I'm going to read Prabhupada's breakdown of Nirmatsaranam Satam. In the Vedas, in the Vedas, the above mentioned four activities are prescribed in the regulative way, so that there will be no any undue competition for sense gratification. But Srimad Bhagavatam is transcendental to all these sense gratificatory activities. It is purely transcendental literature, which can be understood only by the pure devotees of the Lord, who are transcendental to competitive sense gratification. In the material world, there is a keen competition between animal and animal, man and man, community and community, nation and nation. But the devotees of the Lord rise above such competitions. They do not compete with the materialists because they are on the path back to Godhead, where life is eternal and blissful. Such transcendentalists are non-envious and pure in heart. In the material world, everyone is envious of everyone else, and therefore there is competition. But the transcendental devotees of the Lord are not only free from material envy, but are well wishes to everyone, and they strive to establish a competitionless society with God in the center. The contemporary socialist conception of the competitionless society is artificial, because in the socialist state there is competition for the post of dictator. From the point of view of the Vedas, or from the point of view of common human activities, sense gratification is the basis of material life. There are three paths mentioned in the Vedas. One involves fruitive activities to gain promotion to better planets. Another involves worshipping different demigods for promotion to the planets of the demigods. And another involves realizing the absolute truth as his impersonal feature and becoming one with him. And it goes on. But the qualification of being to receive the Bhagavatam is basically rooted in not being envious and envy, which is at the heart of what brings us to this material world. Krishna says, Icha Dvesha Samutenam Dvanda Muhena Bharata, that the initial thing that brings us to this world is enviousness of Krishna's position, desiring Krishna's position and hating him because of his position. Desire and hate, which is basically rooted in envy. So envy is at the deepest it's in the deepest part of our conditioned life. When you go to the end, that's what we're dealing with. So the process of self-realization is basically to eliminate that envy. So to be able to understand fully, to come to that position of yama karma chame divyam, because when we come to the position of perfectly being able to understand Krishna's position in truth, then that is a position that qualifies us to go back home, back to Godhead. Tyatta deham purnanjarma eti man eti swarjuna. that, you know, we become qualified. Now we can go back home, back to Godhead. So we have to come to that position, and that's a position of self-realization when we eliminate all the things from the heart. The process to eliminate those things from the heart is this culture of hearing. And it's the culture of hearing in the company of the pure devotees of the Lord. And that is the prescription, or, you know, in Lord Brahma's prayers, when he realized that the mistake that he has committed, then he expressed that in, you know, a beautiful prayer. How's it go? That the one that Lord Chaitanya accepted as this I accept, when Lord Chaitanya asked Srila Ramananda Roy, what is the goal of life? And then I get a blank right now on that verse. Anyone remembers? That he says that we have to be established in our position, free, sthanasthita, yes, that simply free ourselves, being established in our position, in our duties, free from motivations, both for fruitive result and for jnana, kicking that out, just like in the beginning of the Bhagavatam is saying, being established in that position and simply engage in associating with devotees and listening, getting into this culture of listening about the pastimes of the Lord. That in itself is the position that establishes in this most confidential knowledge. And interesting, during that pastime, Lord Chaitanya rejected even some of the most, you know, revered verses that are there in the Bhagavad Gita, including Sarva Dharman Parityaja. He rejected that because although it tells us about this position of exclusive devotion to Lord Krishna, but, you know, Krishna is telling us that by enticing us or having an exchange. Okay, do that and I will do this for you. So there is something to try to motivate us. I will free you from all sinful reactions. So there's almost like an exchange. It's to entice us. But in this other position, it's a much more mature level. The position of entering into this culture of hearing and of the Srimad Bhagavatam under the instruction and guidance of a spiritual master. And then Srila Sukadev Goswami start to narrate now this beautiful, important pastime, and especially telling us, Srila Prabhupada highlight the beautiful narrations of descriptions of Vrindavan Dham and this heavenly or idyllic descriptions of the forest of Vrindavan. That is completely transcendental. Sometimes we hear also narrations in the Srimad Bhagavatam of description of some heavenly regions, like, you know, the spaces when, you know, Gajendra was sporting, and or Krim, what is it, Krim Priyavrata, who, you know, the different narration of these beautiful heavenly arrangements, these gardens and mountains and spaces and lakes and things like that. But this is within this material world. It's something that is going to disappear. But the transcendental line of Vrindavan is beyond description. Chintamani. Is a word of that everything is made of this Chintamani jewels, the land, and the trees are Kalpa Brikshas, and the cows are Surabhi cows, and all the damsels are goddess Lakshmis. So this is what we're given the opportunity to enter. Any comments or questions?
Verse without the purport of being submissive to the guru. And one thing that came to mind when I heard this is that we generally hear that there's two ways you can be submissive to the spiritual master. Through Vapu, his physical presence, and through Vani, his instructions. And more important than, we hear more important than Vapu is his Vani instructions. And we see that there's many pastimes because objectively speaking, you can't really test your submissiveness to the spiritual master when he's present. Because we see, like, just in the school, I know many people probably experience this too, when the teacher is present, everyone is well behaved. When the teacher leaves, everyone's fighting, throwing spitball at each other, etc. And we kind of see many pastimes like this, where the Lord basically has to disguise himself to test whether his devotees are really, truly submissive. And just like, for example, there's a nice quote by Raghunatha Maharaj. He says, like, generally speaking, when we're see the spiritual master, we naturally have a humble disposition. My dear spiritual master guru, I have no possessions. I surrender to you. So many things like that. So there's a nice quote by Raghunatha Maharaj. He says, Srila Prabhupada was once asked by a devotee for permission to renounce everything. Srila Prabhupada's response was, Krishna owns everything, so what do you have to renounce? The only thing you have to renounce is the misconception that you have something to renounce. And so naturally in front of the guru, we have this humble disposition, I have no possessions. But we see in the pastime of Bali Maharaj, had the Lord disguised himself as Vamanadeva, had the Lord had appeared as the Supreme Lord, then naturally Bali would have been submissive, but because the Lord disguised himself, he failed the test. I own practically the universe. I own so many things. So there's so many pastimes like that where it's, anyone can be patient with the guru. Try being patient besides the guru. There's a nice quote from the Bible. It says, do not fail to show hospitality to strangers because some have entertained angels without knowing it. And we hear from the Bhagavad Gita, everyone's an angel because everyone's a part and partial of Krishna. Vidya Vinaya Sampane Brahmane Gabi Hasani Shuni Chava Swapakicha Pandita Samar Darshana. And so, of course, generally speaking, we show different respect to the spiritual master than we would show with our peers, definitely. But the underlying foundation is I wish everyone success in Krishna consciousness. It doesn't matter what the disagreement are. You never, generally speaking, this is being submissive to the spiritual, you never wish a devotee to fall down. We generally have that tendency. I know I've had it over the years, but I realized, wow, that's not really being submissive to the guru. And so my question is regarding one thing I appreciate about this Bali Maharaj pastime. Prahlad was delegated authority by the Lord, or Hiranyakashipu. He was going to inherit the kingdom. But Prahlad says, I don't want this property. And also we see that the Lord forced Prahlad to inherit the kingdom. Prahlad handed it down to Virochana. Virochana handed it down to Bali Maharaj. And so my question is regarding this, because some points I really appreciate about Prabhupada and something that he told Gorgovinda Maharaj is that when things are just given to you, like delegated, then naturally you become ungrateful. You think you own so many things, because when it's given, just like if you build the enterprise from the bottom up.
Tell the question, I got the point.
Just like when you build the enterprise from the bottom up, you're gonna be so grateful and respectful to everyone, because just like when Prabhupada came, he would take any help he could get from anyone. He wasn't thinking, do you have any idea who I am? I own such and such ISKCON. He was, who did the help he get from? Drug addicts, drunks, sex mongers. And he was grateful for the help. But when things are just given to us, just like a seed cannot germinate in light, it must be buried in the ground. So one last point I wanted to mention is that when Gorgovinda Maharaj, Gorgovinda Maharaj met Prabhupada, Prabhupada gave him initiation. So Prabhupada told Gorgovinda Maharaj, please build a temple in Bhubaneswar. And so Gorgovinda Maharaj says, oh, absolutely, I'll build a temple. Just give me some money, some resources, and some manpower. And Prabhupada said, no. Why? Because you can't grow in the spotlight, just as a seed can't grow in a light. And for 40 years, Prabhupada, he was treated like an insignificant beggar. And whatever help he got, he was so grateful. But when things are just given to us, we become very arrogant and proud. We just disrespect anyone. So that's one point. So my question is that naturally when we have to move on in society, things have to be delegated. That's natural. So how can we develop the humility without necessarily going through the long, patient process of being Srinadapi Suni Chena Tador Iva Sahishinuna Amani Nana? When things are just given to us, how can you really develop that humility? So that's my question.
I lost it a little bit, but just in short, in terms of when one receives a responsibility, or one takes some responsibility, or something is comes to us, then how to cultivate and develop the proper attitude of humility is like we've discussed that many times. It's a gradual process. If there's sincerity, which most of the devotees have, the purification will happen. And there are certain things that for some of us will be faster, some of us, some will be slower, depending on the particular attachments, deep-rooted attachments that we hold. So the whole process is to eliminate envy at the end, you know, towards Krishna and towards Krishnas. So the manifestation, like Prabhupada put it here, that I found it really wonderful, the symptom of enviousness is competitiveness. We compete. We compete for, so the competitiveness is there, it manifests. So it manifests also in the community of devotees that we have. In one sense, you know, sometimes gross, sometimes subtle, and we have to part of the process of purification is that we become aware of those symptoms in ourselves. You know, we become aware that actually maybe I would like to have a supposition, and I'm try to compete with it so the motivation that is our advancement is mixed with this competition, this enviousness. And as we take the process of sadhana bhakti under the guidance of a Guru Maharaj, then we start to become purified. Purification for us in these beginning stages means that you start to understand, oh my God, this is happening to me. When we read it, when we hear about it, when we study it, this is happening to me. You can recognize these things. And then once you recognize it, then you're on your way of eliminating it, because now you become aware. And that's something that we all experience. It's one of the wonderful things that we all experience. We become introspective and able to see these things at work. And then you start to feel bad about it. And that's a great symptom. You become more conscious. So then you start to purify. So it's a process. It's a process of self-realization. And we have to, as individuals, to go deeper and seriously about this, eliminating all these anarthas. And the means are given to us is this Shravanam Kirtanam process, hearing and chanting, deeply. Anything else? Krishna Arjuna.
I'm going to attempt, although it's not clear in my mind exactly the question. You were drawing attention to Bhagavad Gita and Krishna providing motivation for surrendering to him, that he would destroy sinful reaction, and then you were saying that the Bhagavatam, it's almost that one's working on the assumption that one has one's well on one's path of surrendering to Krishna and is not even taking into account any motivation for hearing the Bhagavatam. So, but the recommendation is still there to hear the Bhagavatam even if one is either in an earlier part of surrendering and is concerned with the destruction of sinful reaction. So could it be said that the hearing of of Bhagavatam is having its effect irrespective of whether one's concerned with needing motivation for surrender, or if one is happily surrendering, having even gone past that kind of need for some motivation to help one?
That's a nice observation, that by descriptions, most of us are not qualified to understand the Bhagavatam, which is a fact. How many of us can claim this Nidmarsalanam Satam, qualification? However, and also it's explained that, Srila Sutta Goswami explains that this Savaipan Samparodharam, Ahaitukiya.
That the qualification of, or the description of the quality of this this supreme position of dharma, this paradharma, is ahaitukiya pratiyata, unmotivated and uninterrupted. And so to have entrance into that, and that's what Srila Sukadeva Goswami established, that because you're a submissive disciple, I'm gonna give you that. I'm gonna give you entrance into that. So for us, we have entrance into that because we are under the protection of Srila Prabhupada's purports. So without the Bhaktivedanta purpose, we have no, absolutely no capacity. The world have no capacity, or regular conditioned soul have no capacity of entering into the means of the Bhagavatam without that type of guidance and assistance. Similarly, even to go anything to do with Krishna, to go to Vrindavan without the shelter of Srila Prabhupada, you know, remember, we have friends, you know, who goes to Vrindavan like that without having that shelter, and then cannot see the beauty of Vrindavan, which is quite striking, because you have a devotee and a non-devotee, and the devotee sees this most beautiful place, just as Prabhupada is describing. Anyone who visits Krishna Balaram Mandir cannot help but, you know, appreciate that exquisite beauty. And then you have someone else that you see, you know, the sewage and the dirt and this and that, and you know, they can't, it goes crazy. So that's how dependent we are on submissively taking shelter of a pure devotee. So that is explained in the Bhagavad Gita. Krishna gives us everything. That most confidential knowledge is presented in the Bhagavad Gita, but in the Bhagavatam it's taken into another level. It's going diving deeper into that, but the principles remain the same. We only have entrance to that most confidential knowledge through the spiritual master. All right, let's stop here. Garantara Shiman Bhagavatam Ki Jai.